Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Luke and Pete Show. It is Monday the 4th of October. I'm Pete. I'm joined by Luke once again. Luke, how the diddly devil are you doing on this Monday morning?
You all right?
I'm doing okay. I'm very, very pleased to have you back. I just love to have you back,
yeah.
Mate.
I it's not that I'm back. You just like to know where I am and what I'm up to. I think that's the main thing. For an hour every week, you get to sort of know where I am, what I'm up to, and that gives you a little bit of solace in this, let's face it, cataclysmically unpredictable world.
Yeah, so we should make it very clear. Well, we did make it very clear to our listeners, didn't we, that you were off on your holiday, so we were pre-recording a couple of shows. So to them, it will feel like you haven't been away. That's the beauty, the magic of broadcasting. But to me, haven't seen you for a little while. And the only time I see you is if we're on the Football Ramble together, which isn't that often.
True.
Or on this show. And my other experiences of you are just little boxes of different colours on a short and a shared calendar that we have, that a lot of the time I don't understand what it is you're doing. So I'm pleased to know that you're safe and well, you're doing okay. You've got a lovely tan as well. You look
lovely
as brown
tan.
As a berry.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the peel to begin, and then I'm going to be selling off bits of my skin like that OnlyFans girl who sold her bathwater. I'm going to be selling off little portions of my skin that people can take the skin from the Jiffy bag, wear it on their faces, and just, you know, just be have a little slice of Pete with you wherever you
are. What a delicious idea! How much would you sell it for? Because I've just noticed that the price of gold per gram currently at time of recording is $56 per gram.
Right.
You'd probably better get a good size piece of skin of yours for a gram.
Yeah.
What would you sell it for? Same price?
It would be, you know, when people balk at the prices of like Salt Bae's restaurant, it would be kind of the same price. People would be like, look, it's clearly a quality product, but not that much of a quality product. The man's lived a terrible life, and I don't think that skin is going to endure any. It's just got to be dusty. Just be a lot in 6 months.
If I bought a Salt Bae tomahawk steak, and instead of covered in gold leaf, it was covered in your skin, that would be quite the experience.
That would be wonderful. That would be I wouldn't put it past them, to be quite frank. What I like about obviously Salt Bae, he is a meme who lives in Dubai, I believe, and he's come over to London, and he's created a restaurant. He's created a little franchise set of restaurants, and people are balking at the idea of some of the quite underwhelming, quite ad hoc cooking oil on a steak with a bit of bread kind of nature of a lot of the dishes. And he's very much sort of he's very much a situation where he's selling things like, you know, tomahawk steaks for like 600 quid a pop, which, you know, anywhere else, 50 quid maximum.
I've got a couple of points to make on this, Pete, and I'm very passionate about it, as you can probably already hear. One, there is never going to be a shortage of people out there who are able to separate stupid people from their money. And I think if we're being totally honest, you and I have both been guilty of that in the past, of being the victim rather than the perpetrator.
Victim. Okay, and fair dues.
Yeah, and I'm sure we will do it again. Yeah. Secondly, you know, anyone who's listened to this show who's got an interest in eating out in London, I am by no means a foodie, and nor is Pete, but we know our way around, to the point that if you're about to drop a grand on a meal, don't do that. Email or tweet us and we'll find you a nicer place for a tenth of the price, and
exactly.
Everyone wins. And we're only taking a 50% commission.
Yeah, we'll take a little bit of money from. Yeah, I think in many ways, and you say that we've been on the receiving end of such terrible late-stage capitalism rather than giving it out. Oh, yeah. I mean, I was at a Wrestle Me live show where Mark Haynes was selling cans of Tizer with the words bird blood, taped over the front for £4. So I can't really sort of have an opinion about Salt Bae's restaurant after that little debacle. But what I do like about it is that he knows he can sell tomahawk steaks for £600 or whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of these like receipts have stuff like Red Bull on them, which if you're going to a restaurant and you're drinking Red Bull, you should be escorted off the premises, to be quite frank. Disgusting.
The Red Bull, there's £11.
It probably is yeah. Is it 11 quid?
I saw the receipt. It is.
Oh, good God. Well, the thing that got me was that the, is it the flowering onion? Is it an onion flour? What do you call it? Where they just slice up an onion in a certain way so that when they dip it in batter and throw it in the oil, it kind of opens up a little bit like a chrysanthemum. Yeah. And that was £20. I think it was like 18, £20. And he knows that's too simple. He can't sell a flowering onion or a blooming onion or whatever you call them for more than £18, which is sad to me because he should have a bit more about him. He should sort of go, no, that's a £40 a flowering blooming onion. To be
but you know, onions are like 6p.
I know.
Literally.
I know, but how much is a slice? Because we don't have access to cost-priced steak and cost-priced meat, he can get away with putting the big end on the tomahawk steak. But the whole business with the flowering onion, I just think he could have added a bit more to that, I think, and made a bit more
cash. This is the first I've heard of the flowering onion. All these news outlets over the last week or so have missed the big angle. It's Donaldson bringing the truth.
The flowering onion should be more, because it's a low-rent dish at a high-end restaurant, and they should have made it more expensive, to be quite frank. Terrible.
I think it's amazing, really. And like I say, listen, if you're in the Wild West in the late 19th century in the US, you would have, you know, snake oil salesmen, you'd have magic potions, you know, you'd have all this stuff. This has always been going on, right? People are never going to not fall for this, certain people. Mm. And you know, the sad indictment, I suppose, is that there are some people out there who are so wealthy that whatever they pay for a meal just doesn't even touch the size. They don't give a shit, right? They just want to be seen there. They want a back rub from Salt Bae. They want to see him do this thing with the elbow. And that's what they're there for. And in a way, you could possibly argue that it's just a very kind of expensive theatre thing, right?
Yeah.
Because even the reviews I've seen have been like, oh, but it's like there's a real buzz when he walks into the restaurant, you know. And he's about 4 foot tall, which is mad as well. Anyway, my point I was just going to make
like
was
the Folly Towers Cafe.
Exactly. It's a bit like that. He is in many ways a 21st century Manuel, right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, yeah. He's tiny,
and that's fun. I would like to see him slapped over the head and stuck in a laundry basket. But the point I suppose I'd like to make is I sincerely believe, and I've not eaten there, and I probably never will eat there, but I sincerely believe that you would probably have a better meal at an Honest Burger. You know, the meat there, they take care of it. It's a high street burger restaurant, fine, but at least they take care of the fucking stuff they do. They take pride in it, and the burgers are good. You know, if you go down into Soho or to Covent Garden, Soho probably is a better place to go. Go to Soho in London. Go to somewhere like Catty Roll Company, which is beautiful regional Indian food in these wraps, these catty rolls. They're about a fiver each. You get three of them, and you have a lovely meal with a drink or whatever, a glass of wine. There are loads of places in London you can eat. This place isn't targeted for people who are tourists, is it? And the big amount of the criticism has come from the fact that like the exact same meal in one of these restaurants in a different country, like Istanbul or whatever, is like a tenth of the price, but it's the same fucking shit, right?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I think, I mean, the Catty Roll Company is a really good example of like effectively a fast food joint that tastes like no other fast food. It's incredible, like a beautiful tamarind kind of paste they use for some of the dishes and some of the wraps and stuff. Yeah. Like if we're ever going to do restaurant reviews and get on the whole Ed Gamble, is it Table Manners? No, what's that show they do?
Open Table.
Is it Open Table? Either way.
Off Menu.
off menu where they they talk to celebrities about dinner and stuff, and inexplicably, you know, Ed and the other, is it James Acaster? They both eat in the best restaurants constantly throughout the week, so they recommend them on their Instagram and stuff. They become food sort of influencers, effectively. But if we ever became food influencers, we'd very much give the Catty Royal Company 5 stars and also melt in a block of cheese in a cup and having a dip.
Yeah, that's. I mean, you in many ways, mate. If Salt Bae was putting the a block of Sainsbury's Basics cheddar into a mug, separating the rennet off, putting it under the grill, and then eating it in one foul swoop for a delicious, delicious, tasty meal, you know, people will be raving about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It'd be 50 quid. You could have done that. There's a toasty. I walked past it on the way in today. There's a cheese toasty restaurant in London now.
Yeah, you
do whatever you want. Yeah,
I'll get a white shirt on me own. Join the Seal Cafe guys.
You have got a similar. I mean, because you look like everyone, you've got a similar profile of a look of a Salt Bae, I think.
Oh yeah, I mean, with this tan, just put some circular sunglasses on me. I think I'd look like a lovely Salt Bae
and
boy.
And then, wow, that's what he always does. Wow, he always does that. Pete, it is, as you've rightly said, the Luke and Pete show. We didn't plan to talk about Salt Bae. No. But we have. How has your holiday been? I saw a very exciting video of you on Instagram just yesterday, paragliding off the back of a speedboat. What a come down to earth that would be now speaking to me from your shed. How was the holiday? How was the paragliding? What were the highlights? What did you get up to? Were you, for example, bitten by a stray dog? Did you accidentally walk into a volcano? What's happened?
Didn't really sort of encounter the volcano. That was on the other island, so to speak. Your prince is in another island. Couldn't see a single thing. There was no ash in the air, really. I think even their airport, I think, has been open intermittently. I think the only problem is that the ash is kind of like raining down onto the surface of the runways and stuff. So they've just been clearing that off. So, yeah, I think, I was able to get in and get out okay. But, yeah, the parasite, it was actually a few days ago, but the man took a little while to send the pictures and videos via Dropbox or WeTransfer. But, my God, have you ever done parasailing before?
No. Is it parasail? I thought it was paraglide. What's the difference?
I think it's called paragliding, para-ascending. I think parascending is the most popular or certainly more accurate rendition of that particular term. But it's so fucking chill, Luke. It's not even...
Jurassic Park 3.
It's not even thrilling. It's just like... It's just really relaxing. I was expecting it to... Because I'd been to, like, Siam Park Water Park a few days earlier. That was fucking great. I went on so many water flumes and stuff that I sat down for 5 minutes and had to go home because I'd had too much fun. I think my inner ear had been absolutely smashed to bits. And I was just like, I need to go home. I'm feeling very unwell. So we both went home. We sat by the child's, what do you call it? The things where they make the wave machine. We just sat next to the child's wave machine. I was like, I need to go home. This is too much. And went to bed quite early. But yeah, it was really nice. But parasailing was just so not thrilling. It was just zen as hell. It was so calm. It was so lovely. So, yeah, if you ever get the chance to do that, it's not scary. It's not, oh, my God, seat in my pants, heart in my mouth kind of bollocks. It's just fucking chill and relaxing and brilliant. Love that. So I think if that's what extreme sports are, if that's what, like, you know, parachuting is, maybe I'll get involved in a bit of that.
Well, I think you need to be a bit more respectful to 12-year-old Eric Kirby, who landed on an island full of dinosaurs when he was doing that once.
Right? Did he go off course? What happened?
That's my only. Yeah, I think so. I think there's something wrong with the rope. Yeah, it's my only reference point to that kind of activity. So, but it looked great. I mean, you're having a lovely old time. There's few things I enjoy more than seeing you having an amazing time, because you've got a little face with a little smile on it with your little beard, and it just looks great. I'd love to see you having a good time. Did you miss your dogs? You
know, I did miss my dogs. It was and to be honest, like getting home, it was like, oh, it's really like, it's good to be home. Lola's in the car. It's like frigging brilliant. Yeah, looking forward to get home. Some electricity has tripped the fuses and the fridge has gone off. Two weeks
stinker.
Just a big stinking hot
what
box
perished?
Freezer. Everything perished. And you know me, Luke, I'm a shortcut taker. And I will buy a bag of pre-chopped onions to stick in the freezer. I will.
It will
come back to that liquefying in the bottom of the bottom of the freezer tray. So it's pretty fucking disgusting coming back to that. So
that's what Saltbite uses.
That's what Saltbite uses to make his delicious tomahawk steaks. The problem is, you get home and you're like, right, I'll put that in a big bin bag. The entire contents of my fridge and my freezer, and I'm like, it's not in a bag, and I was like, well, I can't keep it outside because the foxes will get it, because you know what foxes love, just fucking anything, had to keep it. I had to keep the bag in my office overnight, so now my office stinks of fucking congealed, liquefied, putrefied onions and meat and prawns, and
listen, you have my sympathy. It's not great. I remember when I came back from my holiday and the boiler had gone. I get your pain. I do feel like you're making some poor decisions there, though.
I feel like onions.
Don't put them in your office. I mean, that's not even that kind of advice in when you're building your own office, because they accept that you're probably that's just red.
Not
take that as
do
red.
It, yeah.
Yeah. Don't store your rubbish in here.
There's very few places where you can actually keep stuff that'll you know, keep away from the foxes. I asked on the way out to Tenerife. I asked my neighbour. The bins are collected on Wednesday, very dull. But I asked my neighbour. I said, "Mate, we're leaving Tuesday evening. Can you can you drag the bins from on top of my scooter, which I thought was going to be fox-proof? I put all the bin bags on top, piled them on top of my scooter that sits next to the house. Can you take them to the side of the road so they can be picked up?" And he said, "Yeah, no worries, mate, no worries." Like, proper slot of the earth, but love him. And then he texted me like the day after going, "Pete, the one thing you need to know about kebab meat is it's like crack to foxes." And it was just all over the place. The foxes.
I thought you avoided your neighbours at all costs.
No, I like these ones. They're good. They do stuff for me and with me.
My technique for, I mean, I'm going to go into this, and I think this is exactly the kind of material that Luke and Pete, our listeners, are after. Mm. Occasionally you'll get, say, I don't know, a Tupperware at the back of the fridge. That's, you know, it's had some pasta in it something, and it's gone off because you've forgotten about it. It's not quite right. So what I find interesting is the height profile difference between the wife I have access to and myself is that if she'll pop a Tupperware at the back of the bottom shelf,
I can't actually see it.
Right? So she won't put anything on the top shelf because she can't reach it. So we have a little bit of a disconnect. So anyway, look, that's how it goes. You get the Tupperware out, you open it up, the lid, and it's awful. Now, I've got a policy here, and I think everyone listening, and including yourself, Pete, should probably adopt this policy. I won't just put it in the bin. Now, our bin is a very good level bin. It's a Brabantia, right? It's the top level you can get, you know? Mm-hmm. You're Simply Human, you're Brabantia, they're top makes for bins, right? It's got a lid that opens and closes with a little push button. So it's great. Yeah. It's a great bin. But what experience has taught me is if you just put that rotting food straight into the bin, every time you then open the lid of the bin, going forward until you empty the bin, and there's only two of us living in the house, so it doesn't get emptied that often, it stinks. So I actually opt for what I would call a belt and braces approach. I
pop
that
in your neighbour's garden.
In my cat's food bowl. No, I put it in a plastic bag, which I've got spare specifically for that purpose, wrap it up, tie it in a knot, and then put that in the bin. It's like a double layer system.
Yeah, that's fair. I would accept that. But do you not? Yeah, it depends on what day the bins are going to be collected. If they're going to be collected today or tomorrow, I don't mind having a stinky bin for 5 minutes. But you're right. You need to protect yourself. What's your policy on absolute rot, green mould in Tupperware? Do you throw the Tupperware away, or do you wash it with boiling water and bleach and all kinds of nastiness?
Yeah, there would be a threshold that in our system in our house we don't reach. I'll look at the fridge most Sundays, so it won't get that to that stage. I also think that the issue really the foxes for us isn't that bad, because we have the tall bins with quite a heavy lid, and the fox just can't get to them. So. Yeah. It's actually safe once it's in that bin. If it's green for recycling, they're not interested in the recycling anyway. If it's in the brown bin or the sort of greyish bin, the foxes can't get to it. It's too high. It's about 4 feet high. It's got a heavy lid. They're not getting in it. And I would spare a certain amount of praise and congratulations to Lambeth Council for that, because on that kind of stuff they are very good, because there's foxes everywhere in our area. So
yeah.
It's a minefield these days. I had a text from my neighbour just yesterday about foxes in the back garden. I was like, been there, done that. Good luck, because they don't get in, you cannot get rid of them. You cannot get rid of them. They're a very successful species, a species to be admired for how adaptable they've been. As we learnt from Darwin, you know, it's not the fastest or the strongest species, it's the ones that are most adaptable that flourish. And foxes are very much a part of that. The urban fox is a modern phenomenon, but it doesn't give us peace at night when they're always fucking, does it?
Yeah, I mean, it's very much like people from Portsmouth and Hartlepool, really, isn't it? Constantly
can't
fucking, very adaptable.
Find them everywhere. They'll eat anything. All right, Pete. We've got through.
Lovely.
I'm really pleased I stayed up fairly late last night trying to put some stuff in the running order, because we have looked at none of it. Let's go to a break. When we come back, we'll tidy up a little bit of admin and then we'll do some emails. How about that?
All right, then.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
We're back from the Luke and Pete Shaw sponsored advert break. You may think that adverts sponsoring the Luke and Pete Shaw very much a one-way street. No, we sponsor the adverts during the ad breaks. It's basically whatever product you just heard was sponsored by the Luke and Pete Shaw in reverse. It's very much a reach around. It's a commercial reach around for our partners.
Is that how it works? I don't get involved. Yeah. I'm not good enough at voiceovers. I don't get a look at it. You know, I said before the break I was going to do some admin.
Yeah, what's your
tiny
admin,
bit
mate?
Of admin. I have to say that a lot of people have got in touch saying to let you know, Peter, the book you couldn't remember a week or two ago was Prisoners of Geography.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
Thanks
to everyone who got in touch about that. I'm not going to read all your names out because it would be a long list of just names. But Ben Rosier was the first one I saw, so I've picked him out at random. But you're all equally as lovely and informative. So thank you very much for that. The email section is normally what follows now, traditionally. hello@lukeandpeteshow.com is the destination, and we are at Luke and Pete Show on Twitter and Insta. We don't really tweet or Instagram that much. I think we just got a lot to do, and it's very difficult to stay on top of these types of things, so we don't really get involved that often. But nevertheless, I do read the tweets. I just don't tweet as much on behalf of the Luke and Pete Show. So if you tweet, still be read.
If you want to see little video clips from the show, you'll occasionally see them on the Stack account.
So
check us out on the
Stack
Instagram.
Do you want to do an email first, Peter?
I'll do an email first. Ray Dixon Ray Dixon, RD. We love you, RD. The author of the Wikipedia philosophy email. Remember my name this time, winky face.
Oh, okay.
I don't appreciate that.
No, it's a bit passive-aggressive, isn't it?
Passag, isn't it?
We're doing our best here, mate.
We're doing our best, mate. We don't even have time to go on the Instagram. What's wrong with you? We've got a walkie-talkie update from Ray. Hey, Ellen P. Straight to it regarding walkie-talkie CB radios. The person on the walkie-talkie is probably not replying because whilst they have a transmitter powerful enough to reach you, your walkie-talkie is not powerful enough to reach them. That makes sense, Luke, doesn't it? Because it's kind of ranged warfare, really, isn't it? They've got a Scud missile. I've got fuck all.
I mean, it does make sense now. It's explained to me. But in 2021, it does beg the question, then what is the fucking point of that?
Because well, I presume it's other people with big CB radio boxes, I presume. They're not talking to the people who bought a eSynic 25 walkie-talkie from Amazon for £20.
Yeah, but I think, and Ray, as Ray goes on to say, if you don't mind me kind of butting in, he says, I assume, Pete, you've got mobile data, or at least Wi-Fi in your cabin. It's a shed. Why not use the mobile phone or just message the partner you have access to rather than the walkie-talkie? And he cynically suggested that you're only doing it to gather stories for this podcast, which we know would never be the case because that's not how your mind works at all. But what's the explanation why you need a walkie-talkie from the shed to the house when presumably you've got a perfectly serviceable mobile phone?
Well, Ray Dixon is pointing out that it's like I'm just trying to be Jack 24 Bauer from the TV show 24.
Well, you were
shocking,
a big player
Ray.
And big mover on the forums, weren't you, back in the day?
Outrageous. I just thought it would be an easy way to chat to each other because you don't always have your mobile phone on you. I, as a recordist, as a studio denizen, a man who's just constantly in the bloody studio, you can't have your mobile phone on ever.
True.
So it's never allowed. So I've actually got. Why don't we bash out some messages to anybody who might be listening?
Power on. Eight, six, seven, eight.
What do you want me to say to the estuary?
I don't know what the protocol is. Do you have to start with a certain message?
Breaker, breaker! I've just seen a runaway goose on the estuary. Over! There you go.
What, and keep it on? And it might,
keep it
what,
on,
it might
see
burst
if anybody
into life.
Else. Yeah.
Pete, can you actually keep that on so if we hear anything, we're actually better hear it?
Yeah, okay, cool.
Okay,
I'll
great,
that.
Good stuff.
Can well, anyone listen, hear me? Help! Ignore that, not help. No, I'm
I
fine.
Think that's irresponsible. I don't think
that
you should be doing that. Goose on the estuary is up to the limit you should be able to be talking because I think people are going to get concerned otherwise, mate. I don't think that's fair.
All right, cool, fine.
any minute, the partner you have access to is going to come running into the shed looking for a goose. right, let's do another email from Alec. This is a great email. He says, hi, guys. On Monday's show, you talked about things that were banned at school, mainly pogs, stickers and drugs. the Holy Trinity. Well, we had an unusual one at my primary school where, check this out, Pete, specifically Walker's crisps were banned.
Oh.
Which would have been fine for me because my mum always used to buy us the supermarket version. So,
yes.
No problem.
Discuss.
Alex says, this was because one break time, a kid found one of those little blue packets that contained a prize. Do you remember those things, Pete?
Yes, I do. It was like, because it was back in the day. I mean, now I don't know for whatever reason, but nowadays you almost think that stuff in your food, it's not what people want. They don't want to be going, oh, there's stuff in my food. You will accept a silica gel packet in a packet of jerky, but I think nothing else these days. It's just not a thing that happens. And you used to be able to get crisps that had no seasoning, no flavouring at all, and you could add your own through the included little salt packet you used to get. Salt and shake, yeah.
Well,
he's a government salt, shake them up.
So salt and shake were famously Smith's crisps, right? But this little sachet of salt was exactly the same sachet in my memory as Walkers used for their competitions. And what they would do for people who are too young or too non-UK to remember this, I'm sure it happened in other territories that Walkers sold crisps in, they used to put a little bit of money in there, like a fiver or folded up or a tenner or something. But anyway, Alex's friend at his school won the big prize. Apparently, one of the little blue packets in their school that a kid opened contained a cheque for something ridiculous, like £50,000. And then in parentheses, he says, I may have exaggerated this over the years, but it was definitely a decent amount and not just a fiver. Anyway, another kid claimed it was theirs, Pete, and chaos ensued. But there's not, I mean, the powers that be, the faculty at the school, couldn't think of a way to resolve it other than the banning of Walker's crisps wholesale. many believe that swapsies of crisps may have been to blame. Now, I can remember swapsies of crisps happening. You get stuck with the cheese and onion, and your mate offers you a salt and vinegar. You're taking it. You're taking it all day long. yes. So anyway, Alec finishes by saying, yeah, so they banned Walker's crisps. But on a slight tangent, one of the kids involved in the crisp incident was at Panto a few years later and jumped up to grab a goodie bag that had been thrown into the audience by Timmy Mallett, and said goodie bag smacked him full in the face, giving him two black eyes because the bag contained a mug. Why Timmy Mallett was launching this into the audience is absolutely baffling. I thought you might enjoy these memories. Cheers, Alec. Now, you do not throw something into the audience if it's got a mug in it.
That's going to just smash the mug. Best case scenario, you got a smash mug.
Worst case, you've got brain damage.
I remember, I think I spoke about it before, I went to, it wasn't even Panto, it was just like a little one-man road show that Pip Schofield was doing in the 80s with Gordon the Gopher. And he rocked up to Hartlepool Town Hall, and my dad took me to it, and he was throwing out goodie bags left, right and centre, T-shirts, stickers, rulers, stuff like that. And this big lady, who was probably in her 30s at the time, it got thrown at my feet, and I went to pick it up as literally like a five-year-old, six-year-old kid. This big lady's bawled me over, grabbed the bag and run off with it. Huh. Terrible, terrible behaviour.
Is that how you met your stepmom? But what time was Philip Schofield there? I mean, for your dad to be there, Philip Schofield must have been there about 3 a.m.
Would you make? Oh, yeah. It was like a night's roadshow. It was a student union. We're all getting pissed. It's brilliant.
Do you reckon? I mean, obviously, we can't get into what happened to some of the BBC employees at these roadshows, but they don't do those. Do they do those things anymore? Or is it just much more hip and cool now? It's like big weekenders and stuff these days, isn't it?
I think those kind of like personal appearances at student unions and stuff like that, or little roadshows. I mean, you have to have something going on. A lot of the stars nowadays, because they're just memesters or TikTokers, it's hard enough to extrapolate a Football Ramble live show to an hour and a half. Imagine like just not doing any long form stuff at all, and just being the person who wears a nice dress or does a little dance. Difficult to sort of extract that.
Well, whereas I just always assumed that whereas we had like Pat Sharp or fucking Jerry Springer or whatever, they just now have Love Island people, no?
Yeah, exactly. So they just come off, they do a little wave, presumably.
Only wears Essex
people. Throw some T-shirts out. Yeah, exactly. So like, there's very little. I mean, what do you do with someone like that? Like, how do you create a show out of that? You can't have an hour and a half. Pip Schofield could pull that out of his behind in 10 minutes. But, you know, it's difficult and interesting. But I imagine he made absolute lucre, filthy lucre, doing these length and breadth of the country, thousands of pounds every night. Fantastic. Good on
what
him.
What would you do if you got an email and it was from De Montfort University, your alma mater, and they said, we want you to come to Mumbo Jumbo's student union night on this Wednesday night, and it's going to be, we want you to appear. And all you got to do is throw a couple of T-shirts out and wave, and you're going to be introducing everything, and you're up on stage. It's only going to take you half an hour. How much would you charge?
I would charge
enough
over £1,000, but I would insist on doing... Just get me some more food for my fridge, please. Yeah. Just pay me in onions. And I would insist on doing more than they need. You know what I mean? Any corporate gig, I'm helping them carry cameras and lights and stuff like that. I always feel very guilty of that sort of income. But I'd insist on doing like a manumission style sex show or something. I don't know, something like something
that's just wanking, mate. If you're on your own, that's basically just having a wank on stage. You can't do that.
Some alumni just turned and just fucking jerked off for 5 minutes, and then waved goodbye. Waved goodbye with a semen covered hand,
and the billboard poster's still there. In my line of work, image is everything.
Presentation is everything. Yeah.
Oh
terrible.
My God! You can't do that, Pete. You can't. I don't think you ever could do that.
No,
I don't think you could.
Look, John Barrowman's got in trouble this week. But it's so John Barrowman is in a bit of bother. I think he's been given another TV show, but he's been thrown off whatever dancing show he was on because in the past he liked getting his willy out in front of people who didn't want to see his willy. And I saw his anus before. He did that while we were doing an interview with Doctor O, and he was in the next studio, and he pulled his pants down and showed everyone his anus and the back of his testicles. So I've been at the hard face of the smooth skin,
so to speak. You're the victim here. You are very much the victim here. Well, on that bombshell,
an incredible anus. Well on that done. Bombshell, that. Well done.
We are going to have to make an unforeseen, unplanned trip to the lawyers to see how much of that can stay in. And
It happened, and he's got a track record, Luke. We'll be fine, mate.
I had a lot of people had told me a lot of things about a certain person before a lot of stuff came out. And I did like a proper dad, because I think I read it in the paper. I did like a proper dad, just a little nod to myself, oh, yeah. And then moved on with my life because it was not in any way a surprise. But do you want, before we go, do you want to just give people the dates that you're at De Montfort?
November 5th, 6th and 7th. It's a three-day residency.
It's a Guy Fawkes-like special. You can just stick a firework at your ass. like that guy at the England game. Yeah. And we'll get out of it. We're back on Thursday. We've got loads of stuff to get through because you've been away. We'll get through more of it on Thursday. We'll do some of your battery brands as well. Up in to see a couple of films. We'll talk about that on Thursday as well. Plenty to look forward to. Thank you very much for listening on this lovely, fine Monday, the very start of what is now autumn. Stay warm, stay dry, and have a great week, and we'll see you later. Take care, Pete.
Okay, I will.
Just take care.
Take care. Just, I don't like the way that you really looked worried when you said that as well.
Take care. I just thought, take care, Pete. That's the most important thing.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.